All right, so we're going to do Great Controversy, Chapter 39 in English, okay? In English, and then we'll do it in Spanish later. All right, so it's the time of trouble, the time of trouble. Great Controversy, Chapter 39, EGW, which stands for Ellen G. White. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. So that's the verse, the opening verse. Now we're going to do section 1. There's 7 sections total. Section 1. When the third angel's message closes, mercy no longer pleads for the guilty inhabitants of the earth. The people of God have accomplished their work. They have received the latter rain, the refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And they are prepared for the trying hour before them. Angels are hastening to and fro in heaven. So that means to and from, but it's just a phrase, to and fro in heaven. An angel returning from the earth announces that his work is done. The final test has been brought upon the world, and all who have proved themselves loyal to the divine precepts have received the seal of the living God. Then Jesus ceases his intercession in the sanctuary above. So in the sanctuary above, he lifts his hands and with a loud voice says, "It is done." And all the angelic host lay off their crowns as he makes the solemn announcement, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. Every case has been decided for life or death. Christ has made the atonement for his people, and blotted out their sins. The number of his subjects is made up. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven is about to be given to the heirs of salvation, and Jesus is to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, period. All right, section number 2. Jacob's night of anguish, when he wrestled in prayer for deliverance from the hand of Esau, represents the experience of God's people in the time of trouble. Because of the deception practiced to secure his father's blessing intended for Esau, Jacob had fled for his life, alarmed by his brother's deadly threats. After remaining for many years in exile, he had set out at God's command to return with his wives and children, his flocks and herds, to his native country. On reaching the borders of the land, he was filled with terror by the tidings of Esau's approach. At the head of a band of warriors, doubtless bent upon revenge, Jacob's company, unarmed and defenseless, seemed about to fall helpless, victims of violence and slaughter. And And to the burden of anxiety and fear was added the crushing weight of self-reproach, for it was his own sin that had brought this danger. His only hope was in the mercy of God. His only hope was in the mercy of God. His only hope was in the mercy of God. His only defense must be prayer. So only hope, mercy of God, only defense, prayer. Yet he leaves nothing undone on his own part to atone for the wrong to his brother and to avert the threatened danger. So should the followers of Christ, as they approach the time of trouble, make every exertion to place themselves in a proper light before the people, to disarm prejudice and to avert the danger which threatens liberty of conscience. Section 3. Having sent his family away, that they may not witness his distress, Jacob remains alone to intercede with God. He confesses his sin and gratefully acknowledges the mercy of God toward him, while with deep humiliation he pleads the covenant made with his fathers and the promises to himself, in the night vision at Bethel and in the land of his exile. The crisis in his life has come. Everything is at stake. Everything is at stake. Everything is at stake. In the darkness and solitude, he continues praying and humbling himself before God. We had said in the previous section, his only hope is the mercy of God. His only defense is prayer, from section 2. So back to section 3. In the darkness and solitude, he continues praying and humbling himself before God. Suddenly, a hand is laid upon his shoulder. He thinks that an enemy is seeking his life, and with all the energy of despair, he wrestles with his assailant. As the day begins to break, the stranger puts forth his superhuman power, at his touch, the strong man seems paralyzed, and he falls, a helpless, weeping suppliant, upon the neck of his mysterious antagonist. Jacob knows now that it is the angel of the covenant with whom he has been in conflict. That's Jesus Christ. Though disabled and suffering the keenest pain, he does not relinquish his purpose. Long has he endured perplexity, remorse, and trouble for his sin. Now he must have the assurance that it is pardoned. The divine visitant seems about to depart, but Jacob clings to him, pleading for a blessing. The angel urges, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." But the patriarch exclaims, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." What confidence, what firmness and perseverance are here displayed. Had this been a boastful, presumptuous claim, Jacob would have been instantly destroyed, but his was the assurance of one who confesses his weakness and unworthiness, yet trusts the mercy of a covenant-keeping God. Amen. All right, section number four. They afflict their souls before God, pointing to their past repentance of their many sins, and pleading the Savior's promise, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5. One more time. This is the Savior's promise. "Let him take hold of my strength, my capitalized, so the strength of Jesus. Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Capital M for Jesus. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5. Their faith does not fail because their prayers are not immediately answered. Though suffering the keenest anxiety, terror, and distress, they do not cease their intercessions. They lay hold of the strength of God, as Jacob laid hold of the angel. And the language of their souls is, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin in obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life. That's powerful. So had not Jacob previously repented of his sin, then God would not have heard his prayer and preserved his life. So we need to repent of our sins. So let me read that again. Had not Jacob previously repented of his sin in obtaining the birthright by fraud, God would not have heard his prayer and mercifully preserved his life. So in the time of trouble, if the people of God had unconfessed sins to appear before them while tortured with fear and anguish, they would be overwhelmed. Despair would cut off their faith, and they could not have confidence to plead with God for deliverance. But while they have a deep sense of their unworthiness, they have no concealed wrongs to reveal. Their sins have gone beforehand to judgment and have been blotted out, and they cannot bring them to remembrance. Period. That is beautiful. Praise God. I love that deep sense of unworthiness, humility, meek. All right, section number 5. The season of distress and anguish before us will require the season of distress and anguish before us will require a faith that can endure weariness, delay, and hunger, a faith that will not faint though severely tried. The period of probation is granted to all to prepare for that time. Jacob prevailed because he was persevering and determined. His victory is an evidence of the power of importunate prayer. Jacob's victory is an evidence of the power of importunate prayer. Look that up, importunate prayer. His victory is an evidence, is evidence of the power of importunate prayer. I-M-P-O-R-T-U-N-A-T-E. All who will lay hold of God's promises as he did, and be as earnest and persevering as he was, will succeed as he succeeded. Those who are unwilling to deny self, to agonize before God, to pray long and earnestly for his blessing, will not obtain it. Wrestling with God, how few know what it is. Wrestling with God, how few know what it is. Wrestling with God, how few know what it is. How few have ever had their souls drawn out after God with intensity of desire until every power is on the stretch. When waves of despair, which no language can express, sweep over the suppliant, how few cling with unyielding faith to the promises of God. So I looked it up. Suppliant is a person making a humble plea to someone in power or authority. So when waves of despair, which no language can express, sweep over the suppliant, how few cling with unyielding faith to the promises of God. Those who exercise but little faith now are in the greatest danger of falling under the power of satanic delusions and the decree to compel the conscience. And even if they endure the test, they will be plunged into deeper distress and anguish in the time of trouble. Let me read that one more time. So those who exercise little faith now are in the greatest danger of falling under the power of satanic delusions and the decree to compel the conscience. And even if they endure the test, they will be plunged into deeper distress and anguish in the time of trouble, because they have never made it a habit to trust in God. The lessons of faith, which they have neglected, they will be forced to learn under a terrible pressure of discouragement. All right, section number six. This is beautiful. Section number six. Will the Lord forget his people in this trying hour? What do you think the answer is? No, he will not forget. Will the Lord forget his people in this trying hour, the time of Jacob's trouble? I added that. Let me start again. So section six, will the Lord forget his people in this trying hour? Did he forget faithful Noah when judgments were visited upon the antediluvian world? Again, did he forget faithful Noah when judgments were visited upon the antediluvian world? Antediluvian just means before the flood. I should say the time before the flood. So one more time. Did he forget faithful Noah when judgments were visited upon the antediluvian world? Did he forget Lot when the fire came down from heaven to consume the cities of the plain? Did he forget Joseph, surrounded by idolaters in Egypt? Did he forget Elijah when the oath of Jezebel threatened him with the fate of the prophets of Baal? Did he forget Jeremiah in the dark and dismal pit of his prison house? Did he forget the three worthies in the fiery furnace, or Daniel in the den of lions? Zion said, "The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Wow. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. I have graven you and all of you on the palms of my hands," Jesus says. He was nailed to the cross for you and me. That's amazing. And again, just as an aside, that's the only evidence of the sinful world that will be in heaven, will be the wounds, the scars of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." He will never forget. That's Isaiah 49, chapter 49, verses 14 through 16. "The Lord of hosts has said, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." Chapter 2, verse 8. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. The last section. All right, so again, this is the time of trouble, great controversy, chapter 39, Ellen G. White. Section number 7. Section number 7. The eye of God. The eye of God. The eye of God. Ojos de Dios. The eye of God, looking down the ages, was fixed upon the crisis which his people are to meet, when earthly powers shall be arrayed against them. Like the captive exile, they will be in fear of death by starvation or by violence. But the Holy One, who divided the Red Sea before Israel, will manifest his mighty power and turn their captivity. "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels," jewels, "when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. If the blood of Christ's faithful witnesses were shed at this time, it would not, like the blood of the martyrs, be as seed sown to yield a harvest for God. Their fidelity would not be a testimony to convince others of the truth, for the obdurate heart has beaten back the waves of mercy until they return no more. So obdurate, I had to look up. Obdurate means stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or course of action. So stubborn, stiff-necked, stubbornly refusing to change one's opinion or course of action. That is obdurate. For the obdurate heart, so stubborn heart, has beaten back the waves of mercy until they return no more. Sounds like the unpardonable sin. If the righteous were now left to fall a prey to their enemies, it would be a triumph for the prince of darkness. So if the righteous were now left to fall a prey to their enemies, it would be a triumph for the prince of darkness. Says the psalmist, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Psalm chapter 27, verse 5. Christ has spoken, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Isaiah chapter 26, verses 20 and 21. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have waited. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited for his coming and whose names are written in the book of life. Glorious, glorious, glorious will be the deliverance of those who have waited patiently, for his coming and whose names are written in the book of life. Glorious will be the deliverance of those who have patiently waited, patiently waited for his coming and whose names are written in the book of life. God bless you all. God, please bless my family and friends and help Erica learn English. I can't even speak English. And help Erica learn English. Dios, por favor, bendice. I don't know if it's bendice. I think it's just bendice. Looks like it's bendice. So Dios, por favor, bendice a mi familia y amigos y ayuda a Erica a aprender inglés. Muchas gracias. Dios es bueno. Dios te bendiga.